From the Wall Street Journal, U.S. marriage rate plunges to lowest level on record. Strained finances have Americans forming households without tying the knot. So let's see what Janet has to say, and then we'll talk about why we think U.S. marriage rates have plunged to an all-time low. The share of Americans getting married has fallen to its lowest level on record, according to government figures released Wednesday that reflect how economic insecurity and changing norms are eroding the institution. The U.S. marriage rate fell 6% in 2018, with 6.5 new unions formed for every 1,000 people, according to a report by the National Center for Health Statistics. That was the lowest rate since the federal government began keeping data in 1867, said Sally Curtin, a statistician at the center and lead author of the report. Millennials are in peak marriage years, their 20s and 30s, and it's still dropping, Ms. Curtin said. This is historic. The new report shows how marriage rates plunged near the start of the Great Depression in the 1930s, then rebounded sharply after World War II, hitting a high of 16.4 marriages per 1,000 people in 1946. The marriage rate began a near steady decline in 1982 that lasted until 2009, then remained near flat before inching upward in 2014. Ms. Curtin said there was no clear reason for the sharp marriage decline in 2018. Many Americans are opting to form households without tying the knot, and strained finances have been a top reason. In recent years, much of the marriage decline has come for middle earners and those with only a high school education. Declining religious adherence and growing acceptance of unmarried cohabitation have also played a role. Just over half of American adults were living with a spouse in 2019, down from about 7 in 10 in 1970, census figures show. About 7% lived with a partner last year, up from less than 1% in 1970. The fallout from COVID-19 is likely to further discourage marriage in the near term, since financial insecurity, coupled with travel and social gathering restrictions, are a matrimonial deterrent. A lot of it is the economy and the extent to which COVID has a lasting effect on the economy. It might affect family formation, Ms. Curtin said. The outbreak could also create pent-up matrimonial demand that results in a burst of marriages once America rebounds socially and economically. Marriage is correlated with positive health outcomes, longevity, and economic security. A recent government report showed that age-adjusted death rates are lowest for those who were married when they died. So, she doesn't really understand why the marriage rate is decreasing. And I think this line here, the outbreak could also create pent-up matrimonial demand, I think that's extremely wishful thinking. Don't think that's the case, because we're seeing spikes in divorce rates during this quarantine. So I think that's the exact opposite, actually. But there are a couple of reasons why we've gotten to this point in the West. And this isn't unique to the West, but let's focus on the West right now. So women's liberation opened Pandora's box for plunging the marriage rates. Women's liberation gave women complete authority and power to choose not to get married. And so women are the sole party that benefits from marriage. Now, you could say a man who has authority over his household, he may get intangible benefits, you know, running his household and stuff, but on a clear mathematical, statistical level, just pros and cons, removing intangible things like emotion, feelings, all that stuff, who's losing income and time and energy, and who's reaping that? It's women. Women get benefits from marriage. So how do you get women to not want to get married? Well, that is the question that explains why the U.S. marriage rate plunges to its lowest level on record. Because there are so many guys who would marry women in a heartbeat and put up with so much shit just to have that white picket fence idealism, that romanticism of egalitarianism, you know. So you need to destroy women's interest in marriage for it to truly be destroyed. And they do that through many ways. Birth control is probably one of the biggest ones that utterly destroyed the sexual marketplace and in turn, the marriage marketplace. Letting women have sexual promiscuity without any consequences truly put the nail in the coffin for female pair bonding. They can make all the wrong choices with little to no consequences. So that's one. No-fault divorce, which is relatively new, but still, divorce historically, was not completely in the woman's favor. But as we've seen with the family courts, once those started to get feminized, once those started to get infiltrated with feminist policies that almost always take the side of the woman over the man and utterly destroy him, gives her a financial power over her husband, which then in turn disincentivizes men. So there's two demographics we're looking at in regards to men as to why they're not getting married anymore. Because, as I said earlier, there's always a wealth of men ready and eager to get married. Always. Even now. Like, for every man who's awake and aware of the dangers, there's 10 that aren't. Okay, but birth control has allowed women to become more selective in their process, you know, so they can have their Chads, they can have their Tyrones, and then they can think that carries over into the marriage market, which it doesn't. And they don't have the foresight to see ahead until it's too late, until they're single mothers or they're crazy cat ladies. So that's where that road ends. But they think they have that luxury of choice in regards to lifelong partners, which they don't. Birth control allows them to have short-term partners of higher quality, but they can't have a long-term partner. Now, the men looking to be long-term partners, they don't match up to those short-term partners, the Chads, the Tyrones, those guys. Obviously, we know this, the alpha-beta dynamic. But now, let's look at men who fit in between that alpha and beta dynamic. You know, average guys, not simps, not incels. They may not be the most alpha guy on the block, but they hold their own. You know, they're in the middle. I think a lot of MGTOW guys find themselves in that sweet spot between those two dynamics. And so there's two demographics within those. You have the older guys who've already been married. They've been divorced. They're done. Okay. I pray that they're done. You know, I've known a guy. I worked with a guy who got married 5 times. He's a fucking idiot. He's a retard. You know, he was cool to talk to. He worked in a tank. You know, he drove tanks for the military. Cool to hear those stories. But anything else, didn't really listen to that guy because he's an idiot. But for the most part, we have married guys destroyed in divorce. Okay, so that's one. And then the next is all the guys growing up and seeing this shit firsthand. So no-fault divorce, okay, that impacts the husband, but also the children and the repercussions of divorce in those households. So coming from broken households, well, that makes you more hesitant to get married, doesn't it? And even if it's not a broken household, seeing the feminist culture, the culture is another factor. Seeing that culture and having, you know, the dynamic in the household, even if it's not a broken household, you can see the dynamics are off. You know, the woman doesn't know her place, is very combative, does not want to be the traditional housewife. All these things growing up, younger guys see this, and then the prevalent decadence on social media. So you go onto Tinder, you go onto OkCupid, you go onto TikTok and all these, and Facebook and all these things, Instagram. Every girl wants to be an Instagram star. So the culture, which is through TV, propaganda, general consensus of the population, accepting female liberation, women's liberation, which leads to birth control, which leads to increased voting rights, which leads to expansion of government, which leads to increased power of women in the family courts. All these things mix into the giant stew that is the festering fucking soup of Western civilization. You know, we had those strong foundations and it's been molded down into a nasty stew that even the homeless won't even touch. So these are all things that contribute to the U.S. marriage rate plunges to the lowest level on record. But of course, they will try to ignore this as long as possible, try to avoid this, and even get to wishful thinking, thinking somehow after this outbreak, it'll create pent-up matrimonial demand. Don't see that ever happening. Quite the contrary. But the ultimate destruction of pair bonding is what will ultimately cripple future interactions between men and women. You know, because guys will eventually interact with women in some capacity. You know, some of these guys are just by circumstances doing their thing, and then one day some woman, maybe a coworker or something, happens. And I've seen this time and again. And these guys, you know, maybe they date casually or they just sleep around or something. But these women are completely destroyed. They're not mentally there. Their pair bonding has been destroyed. They can't contain their bitchiness because they're always comparing you to the roster of men that they've been with. All those Chad and Tyrones and Alpha Bros that they had the benefit of sleeping with because of birth control, which destroyed their pair bonding. That then in turn destroys everything else that the pair bonding holds up on its foundation. So I just saw this and I read through the article real quick and thought you guys would appreciate this, because this is, you know, they deliver the data, but they don't have any explanation for it. And we never will, frankly, because they're not going to admit to their mistakes, because to admit to it is to undo all of their quote unquote progress that they've developed so far. And make no mistake, they do see this as progress. They will continue to double down until the streets are littered and the buildings are on fire and blood is in the streets, because that's where this leads. If you don't have pair bonding, civilization, think of it as like a Jenga tower. If you don't know what that is, that's that game. Maybe you've seen it in your local bar when it used to be open, where it's a bunch of little blocks stacked up, and you pull one away and you pull another, and you and someone else takes turn pulling blocks out of the tower. That's what women's liberation did to society. Society is the Jenga tower, and every stage of women's liberation took another block and another block out of it. And then finally you get down to the base of the tower. What is the base of the tower? The base of the tower is pair bonding. If a man and a woman can't pair bond, you don't have civilization. That is the basic building block of civilization. That's everything right there. If you can't have that, everything else falls over. There is no culture. There is no purpose for men to participate in society. Women have nothing to contribute. Not that they did, but their only thing they could truly contribute in a unique capacity, children, they can no longer do without pair bonding. And the children they may produce are not upstanding citizens, because there's plenty of research I won't go into here regarding single mothers. So pair bonding is the foundation for everything. Once you destroy that, you've won the game. And now, whether or not this was intentional or just a product of the prosperity of the West, that is a completely separate topic, but I might cover that soon. So see you guys on the next video.